Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't forget, you can email us, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. All right, we're about to do Medal of Honor Monday. You know that's coming this hour. About a half hour from now, we have Brandon Weikert on. You may or may not know who Brandon is, but what you should know is that apparently some Russian, Chechen, operative, hitman, assassin, spy was trying to hunt down a Green Beret here in America, and there's a lot more to this story than you have heard in eye-popping stuff. So that's about a half hour from now. So we have all that. I'll try to get to as much of the Fauci stuff as I possibly can. I know you're waiting on his testimony and stuff like that from today, but it is Monday after all. It is Monday, and you know what time it is. It's time for Medal of Honor Monday. Every single Monday, we do the exact same thing. We take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. These men deserve to be remembered. Their deeds deserve to be remembered. And if we don't talk about them, if we don't read them, then they're forgotten. It's like they never happened historically. They just disappear. And these are good things to discuss with your kids, with your class, the team you coach. These are good things. You can do this at work. Are you a manager, a boss? You can do this in the break room. We've got guys who have done that. This is not me. I haven't done anything. I didn't earn any of these. Anyone can do this. All these citations are free online. Before I get to the Medal of Honor citation, though, I want to do it a little different today because we got an email today that was freaking powerful and really, really cool. And I thought it would be worth reading. I'll read this, then I'll get to the Medal of Honor citation. This guy says, "Dear Jesse, my father was a Wake Island survivor." Wake Island was World War II in the Pacific, by the way. This is a little long, but I'm going to read it. "He went to Wake Island as a construction worker, but as soon as the Japanese launched their attack on Pearl Harbor, that same afternoon, they launched their attack on Wake Island. He and around 200 other civilians gathered and volunteered to take the oath by the commander of the island to become Marines and fight alongside them. The records were lost. He wasn't credited for volunteering until many years later. He and eight others manned a machine gun nest, which by the end of the fighting, 16 days later, there was just him and one other one alive. He'd been wounded three different times by grenade, shrapnel, and a bullet to the leg during the fighting. After the island was surrendered, the four-year-long nightmare began. He was the last wounded man off the island aboard the Japanese transport ship. As he watched in fear, he became aware that anyone who could not board by their own was bayoneted and thrown into the ocean. He went in as a healthy young man, 6'2", 220 pounds of farm boy muscle, and he returned home 5'11", 127 pounds. For 2 years, no one knew what had happened to the men on the island. Most thought they were all dead. It wasn't until almost 2 years later that the Japanese decided to do a little PR. They put out a propaganda radio message. The first voice that was heard was my dad's. It was a shock to my grandparents, so on and so forth. during captivity, he had beriberi. That's this terrible, terrible tropical disease. Your legs swell up. A bunch of guys died from it. Anyway, he had beriberi, heart malnutrition. He had beriberi, heart malnutrition, been beaten many times, which almost killed him. The Japanese love to beat guys to death. He spent the last year in captivity in Japan working in a steel mill where he watched many of his friends die from the guards, disease, starvation, and accidents, but somehow he managed to survive. Not only the sadistic and brutality of his captors, but also the constant bombing of the Allies in the later days of the war. He never talked about the hell he went through during those years until my younger brother was killed many years later. Then the stories began to flow out of him. It was only then that through testimony and some records did the Marine Corps finally recognize him, gave him two Purple Hearts. I have a little diary he kept during the last days in the prison camp. To this day, it's still very hard to read as the emotions and hardships are hard to imagine. God bless them all who sacrificed so much. Thank you so much for the honor you just bestow on the greatness of those who served and sacrificed. Sincerely, it's Steve. Pretty awesome, right? Pretty awesome. Now, let's do a Medal of Honor citation, shall we? Powerful stuff.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond a call of duty and action against the enemy at Los Negros Island, Admiralty Group, on the 4th of March, 1944. By the way, I didn't say his name. His name is Troy McGill. Troy McGill. In the early morning hours, Sergeant McGill, with a squad of eight men, occupied a revetment which bore the brunt of a furious attack by approximately 200 drink-crazed enemy troops. Although covered by crossfire from machine guns on the right and left flank, he could receive no support from the remainder of the troops stationed at his rear. All the members of the squad were killed or wounded, except Sergeant McGill and another man, whom he ordered to return to the next revetment. Courageously resolved to hold his position at all costs, he fired his weapon until it ceased to function. Then, with the enemy only 5 yards away, he charged from his foxhole in the face of certain death and clubbed the enemy with his rifle in hand-to-hand combat until he was killed. At dawn, 105 enemy dead were found around his position. Sergeant McGill's intrepid stand was an inspiration to his comrades and a decisive factor in the defeat of a fanatical enemy. And I'd say the man has earned taps. You should know before we get back to all the politics of all this, politics of the day and whatnot, that they had taken the airfield at Los Negros Island and the Japanese wanted it back because remember the airfields were everything. And so as they alluded to it in the citation, it was just eight dudes. They were short manned. It was just eight dudes. And the Japanese, what they did, this was fairly routine. A lot of people don't understand how much alcohol has played a role in combat throughout history. It's pick your society. The Vikings were famous for it. Pick your society. Men drink after combat, before combat, during combat. The Japanese were famous for this. They'd just get blasted when they were getting ready to go do suicidal things like a bonsai charge or whatnot. And they learned enough English so they could insult the American troops And so this guy, this happened many times in the Pacific. This wasn't anything out of the ordinary. But the 200 troops that amassed in front of McGill's foxholes, I almost called them fighting holes, but he was in the army, foxholes, they were blitzed out of their minds. And they were yelling things like, beep Roosevelt, and things that they loved to insult Roosevelt. They loved to insult FDR. Beep you, Marine. They learned cuss words. They learned these things. They just get hammered and tell them, we're coming to kill you all and stuff like that. But either way, man gave his life on a godforsaken spit of island over in the Pacific. Let's move on. Let's go back and talk about a couple things because Fauci testified today. Before we get to the Fauci thing, I just want to address this as one final point on the Trump thing. There's something from ABC News out today that it shows over half of Americans think the Trump trial was political, and yet half of Americans believe that it was justified. So wrap your mind around that. We have entered a different era in this country. A completely different era. The average Democrat, the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, they believe Donald Trump should be locked up just for being Donald Trump. Now, I get this question a lot. How do we come back from this? Let's talk about that. And let's talk about Fauci. Before we talk about that, let's talk about $25. I want you to do something. I want you to pick the local pizza joint or national pizza chain in your area and go on their website right now and look at the specials they have. Look at the amount of food you get for $25 now. It's not very much. You know, the couple largest, $25. That's our Monday deal. You know, you could spend that on a couple pizzas, or you could spend it on the premium MyPillow, the ultimate MyPillow, the one with the new Giza fabric. Any size, any loft level, it's $25 right now. Their MyPillow sandals are $25 right now. Have you ever worn MyPillow sandals? You'll never own another pair of sandals. They're inside, outside. They're so unbelievably comfortable. $25 extravaganza sale is something to take advantage of. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. Go get you some MyPillow stuff, all right? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, reminding you if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I am going to rant on airports. I have an airport conversation that we have to have, but I'm going to get to some Fauci stuff before I get it. In case you're watching on the simulcast, you know, you can watch me do the show. If you go to the First TV, you can watch me do it. And you're noticing we have this flag, this U.S. Air Force flag here. And you're saying to yourself, well, Jesse's always giving the Air Force crap. Why would he fly their flag? That's actually completely not true. I believe in flying the Air Force flag whenever it's appropriate. And it's Pride Month. Of course we're going to, I mean, we have to, what, Chris? We're showing solidarity. All right. So anyway, that's why that flag thing is going. All right. So back to the Trump verdict thing, then we'll move on to the Fauci stuff. How do we come back from this? Jesse, how do we come back from this? Well, on a more somber note, we're not going to come back. There will be no going back. Once you get to the point as a country where they're arresting each other, there's no returning to where you were. That doesn't mean always lost. All it means is what we're going to be, I don't know, but it won't be what we were. Where we are now, there's no return from it. There just simply isn't. That is what it is. And I got this email. Dear Oracle, stop asking us to be legal. We are done. Did the colonial army ask permission? And this guy is saying that because in the wake of the verdict, I have once again reminded you that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, CIA, NSA, basically the entire federal government, ATF, they have all been weaponized against you. This has been going on for a long time. I realize everyone's just now finding out about it now, but trust me, The January 6th people have known about it for quite some time. The federal government wants to arrest you. That little group message, the little group text group you're in, there's a Fed in there, a federal informant. No, not my group. They're patriots. Nope, there's a federal informant in there. He's probably the one trying to encourage you all to do something illegal right now or violent. He's the one out there saying, no, we got to go kill them all. No, that's a Fed. They're going to read those text messages aloud in front of your wife in court before they send you to prison for the next 30 years. You stay legal. I'll let you know when it's time for revolution. It ain't time for that. And if you decide you're just going to sally forth and it's time to fight back, you will be fighting alone. How do I know that? I know that because 25% of Republicans even bother to show up to vote in primary elections, which are the most important elections in the country. 75% of the people who are, quote, on your side can't get out of bed on a Tuesday to go vote in a primary election. So if you think it's time to go to war, you will be fighting alone. We haven't even begun to try to fight this at the ballot box yet. We don't even try. We sit home for every election, school board, primary, no matter what's going on. We show up once every 4 years to vote for president. And then we look around and what happened? Well, all is lost. You want to take on Alan Bragg? You want to take on the communists? Is that what you want? Okay, I agree with you. That's what I want too. We have to train. Alvin Bragg and the communists have spent decades working their way through our education system, our entertainment system, our corporate system. They've spent decades infiltrating every part of the government by doing what? Credit to them. Remember, make sure you give your enemy credit where he deserves it. They've been putting in the work. While we were sitting at home catching the game, I don't feel like it this Saturday, they were out there seizing power, attacking at all times. They're now in a position where they can arrest, convict, and possibly imprison the future president of the United States of America. But they didn't get that strong yesterday. They got that strong from years and years and years of training, putting in the work, elections, knocking on doors, starting organizations, sending out, dragging friends to the polls, sending out group text messages. I have this cause, that cause, that cause. The communist is moving, attacking, destroying at all times. We wake up one day and see Trump's going to prison and we say, it's time for war. No, it's time for you to shut up and run for school board. Enough of the Civil War talk. Enough of the revolution talk. Enough of the take up arms talk. This country's so freaking lazy and apathetic that we can't even go to the polls to vote. So trust me, they're not going to be fighting any kind of a civil war. And stop, don't you dare email me with every election stolen. Okay, I'll tell you what. Before you send me that email, here's what I want you to do. You can send me that email. You can tell me all elections are stolen if, in that email, you detail your political involvement before the 2020 election. Because if you're telling me that now it's time to take up arms because they stole it in 2020 and now it's all stolen, then that tells me that you were majorly involved before 2020 and now you're sitting it out. You were majorly involved, right? You're not just saying that because you're mad. And this is, look, I believe they cheated in 2020. I'm acknowledging that. But that's become the ultimate cop-out lie for the lazy. I never get off my butt. I never vote in a primary. I don't even know who's on my school board. I can't name my state senator, but I got a MAGA hat and I ain't voting. It's revolution time because every election's stolen. Nope, you're just lazy. Get off your butt and go get involved in elections. And wearing a MAGA hat does not count. No, wear your MAGA hat, but that's not getting involved in elections. That's not putting in the work. Mike Tyson just knocked you out. You don't get up and try to fight him again. You go back and train. It's time for us to train. All right? All right. Let's find out why the Russians are trying to kill a Green Beret in America. And then let's talk about Dr. Fauci. What should we do to him? Also, we just had Medal of Honor Monday. And we get emails all the time in of, Jesse, what do we do? How do we help these guys? Jesse, what do we do? Listen. The truth is that veterans need more than a thank you, but they shouldn't require a handout, and they don't. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting your VA benefits. Sometimes it's just a matter of finding a new place. Do you know when you switch to Pure Talk, when you switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk, just by switching, you are supporting America's Warrior Partnership. They've partnered with Pure Talk to help veterans come home, stay employed, get their medical issues taken care of. These are the things Pure Talk tackles. It's Pride Month. If you don't have Pure Talk, go look up your cell phone company and Pride Month and tell me what you find. Which would you rather fund, America's Warrior Partnership or Pride Month? Pick up your phone. It's time to switch. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and we are going to switch gears a little bit here. Enough of Fauci talk and lawfare and communism and history and all the other stuff, because there is a story floating out there that has not gotten a ton of coverage, and I find it endlessly fascinating. And my friend Brandon Weikert, he's an author. He wrote the book The Shadow War, which you should pick up. It's sick. It's as cool as it sounds. Anyway, he wrote that book and he's been talking about this story. So instead of me fumbling through it, I'm going to hand it off to him. Brandon, who exactly got shot? Was this guy a Russian? Who did the shooting? What happened with this case?
Well, thanks for having me. It's been far too long. And yes, it was like an episode of that old series, The Americans. There was a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Special Forces coming home. This was back in May 3rd. Came home from Fort Liberty, which you and I know as Fort Bragg. He found a swarthy Chechen in his backyard at 8 o'clock at night, with a high-powered camera, taking pictures of his family as they were going about their nighttime routine. The colonel confronted this guy, and the colonel was armed, and the Chechen decided to get physical, and the Special Forces colonel put the Chechen down. There was another Chechen in a car waiting nearby. The sheriff showed up and questioned the secondary Chechen, let him go because they claimed he was lack of evidence. And the media, where it has been reported in the left-wing media, they're trying to pin it on the colonel. But as it turns out, and I've done the investigation, as you know as well, As it turns out, this Chechen was officially a subcontractor for a firm called Utilities One, which is a utilities company based out of New Jersey. But it doesn't seem to be a real company. They have contracts everywhere with our infrastructure, and yet the owners are Russian and Moldovan. They're all from sort of that part of the world. It was started in 2016, and then in further investigation discovered that the Chechen in question was actually here illegally, and this has prompted many people behind the scenes who I'm communicating with to basically say they think there are Chechen hit squads infiltrating the country through our broken border and targeting U.S. Special Forces members. In particular, this colonel had just gotten back from a covert deployment in Ukraine. So the storylines, Jesse, are merging. You've got Biden's broken border and Biden's failed war in Ukraine all merging together in this really interesting story.
It is beyond interesting. The number of questions I have for you, Brandon, it's a long list, so you're just going to have to be patient with me, as
I'm
you
ready.
Always are. After all, I'm an idiot. So I want to actually begin. Let's start overseas. Let's go through the timeline that way. I think that'll help me and the audience understand this better. Okay, so we have some Green Beret or Delta. I don't know what he was, but we have this super stud in the Army. He's over there in Ukraine, air fingers, quote, advising the Ukrainians. We all know how all that goes. Now, I was never in the Green Berets, and I most definitely was never in Delta, but I do know that you don't hand your ID over to the other side to let them know who you are and your home address. Could you possibly walk me through how this guy's address would ever land in the hands of some Russian operative hitman? How could something like that even happen, Brandon?
Yeah, so this is why people think that it is probably Russian intelligence operations, because basically, you know, the Russians they're not dumb. They are extremely wily. They're very good at intelligence and counterintelligence. And so what probably happened was, throughout the course of the conflict in Ukraine, I have been saying for a while now that we have guys on the ground covertly. I get yelled at by my friends at the Pentagon, don't say that publicly, but I think that's what's going on. And obviously, the story kind of proves that. I'm sure the Russian intelligence services have already figured out which units are being deployed into NATO and then from NATO to the Ukrainian battlefield. And they're sort of just reverse engineering the intelligence to figure out where, you know, these people are. Probably can locate them through social media. A lot of, if not directly, this member of Special Forces, it's probable his family members, his children or his wife, are involved with social media. So it's not impossible for these very good, competent intelligence services to basically figure out stuff like this, even though it is Special Forces and we really try to keep them covert. So I suspect that's probably what was at play here. Was they were identifying possible targets to seek reprisals against, because obviously this guy was not just engaged in, what were they saying, it was propaganda or information warfare operations. He was obviously doing something far more direct and kinetic against probably Chechen units. I mean, the Chechens are crazy. And so this might have been, honor thy father type of situation, run amok.
Okay, first of all, I think you're being a little paranoid when you say these guys are doing more than advising. Next, you're going to tell me they were doing that in Vietnam in 1960. Don't be so ridiculous, Brandon. Okay, obviously that was firmly tongue-in-cheek for everyone listening. They were doing something in Ukraine. Now, explain the Chechen thing, because a lot of people don't understand how nutball these guys are, who these guys are. Who are the Chechens? What? I thought we were at war with Russia. What?
Right. Well, Chechnya is sort of like, the Alabama of Russia, I guess. You know, they're wild and crazy, and, they're not Christian. They are Muslim. And for throughout the 90s and early 2000s, there was a series of really brutal wars fought between the Russian government and Islamist insurgents in Chechnya. Putin was able to defeat them. And then suddenly, you know, Chechnya got a government, a regional government that was very pro-Putin. There's a guy named Ramzan Kadyrov, who is basically a jihadi who loves Putin. So he's kind of the Jihadis for Putin brigade. And his units have been deployed from Chechnya to the front lines of Ukraine, especially as the Wagner group was pulled back. The Chechens are considered to be elite kind of warriors, and they're very brutal. And they have this sort of almost kind of like, I guess, the Klingons from Star Trek. You know, it's like a blood feud. Like, if you wrong them, they will hunt you down. It's sort of a religious and clan society. So it's possible that this Special Forces unit of ours did something in the conduct of the covert war in Ukraine and PO'd the Chechens to the point that they're sending their hit squads through our broken border. Thank you, Biden, for leaving that door open. And they're, you know, disseminating throughout the country, hunting down, you know, targets of opportunity.
Speaking with Brandon Weikert, author of the book The Shadow War, going over this story with a Green Beret kills some Chechen infiltrator out behind his house. Brandon, I should have asked you this beforehand. Is there any way you can stay on? You just got to take a quick break. I just have a couple more questions about this. Okay, perfect. Yeah. We have Brandon Weikert. He is going to be here. I have a couple more questions I want to ask him about what happened, what he thinks is happening on a macro level. Why would Russia take such a step? Anyway, we will be right back with a little bit more Brandon Weikert updating us on this story. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you happen to get it. In case you're just joining us, this is part two of our little Q&A with Brandon Weikert, author, one of these guys who knows everything about everything foreign policy-wise. He's been tracking this story of the Green Beret who killed some Chechen in his backyard who was photographing his family. Okay, so the Green Beret comes home from his deployment, Brandon. The Chechen, we believe, you believe, probably correctly, came across our leaky border, if we're going to be really, really kind about that. My question on the macro level is this, Brandon. America is hesitant. In fact, we've not allowed our weapons to be used in Russia against Russians. Why? It's not because we like Russia, but because that is an escalation that will prompt a response. Why would the Russians take such a step? What if this Chechen pulled it off and shot this Green Beret and we woke up one day and found out the Russians had sent in a hitman to kill a Green Beret? Wouldn't that be an escalation Russia would want to not have?
Well, and far be it for me to defend the Russians, because I am by no means a fan of Russia. But pretty much from the American side of this war, we've kind of been poking the bear the whole time. The very fact that there are U.S. Special Forces operators, in Ukraine, quote unquote, advising the Ukrainians is a problem in and of itself. This war has been dragged out long enough, I think, from the Russian perspective, and they are basically looking for a little bit of payback because the war probably would have been over a year and a half ago had U.S. weapons and personnel not been used to kind of backstop the Ukrainian military. And so while I do think you're right, the Russians don't want to see escalation, at the same time, you know, the Russians, they don't like to take things lying down. And so this is kind of a great way for them to kind of get the elites in Washington back for supporting their enemies without possibly seeing an escalation. Because I don't think, had this Green Beret and his family been murdered or kidnapped, I don't think the administration would have let that news get out. I think they would have tried to cover it up because it would have indicated not only a failure of their border policy, but would have indicated a failure of their Ukraine policy. In an election year, they can't have that. So I think this was a message aimed from Putin at the Biden administration. We know you're here. We know what you're doing. And because of this, we're going to start really messing around with you in your own country. And I think that we can expect to see many more examples of this. And by the way, it's not just the Russians. In fact, in my opinion, the Russians are the least of our concerns. I talked to a retired senior Customs and Border Patrol official about 6 months ago who told me, Brandon, we've got 5,500 Iranians running around the place who broke in through the border. And then he also said, and I know that you've reported on this before, there are 10,000 military-age Chinese males in the United States that broke in here illegally. We don't know where they are. And you can imagine what they're getting up to.
Brandon, if Russia and their guys they sent in, obviously, look, you catch one, that means there are several times that amount here. We happen to have a Green Beret who was aware enough to catch the guy's long telescopic lens. Without that, we don't even know this is happening. So these guys are here. They're here. They're operating. What do we believe they're capable of doing? And I'm not in any way, obviously, dismissive. If they take out some Green Beret, that's not good, not okay. It's awful. It's tragic. But that's not poisoning a water plant, right? What do we believe these people can do if they're motivated to do so?
And this is your right over target. So my next report that I'm doing is actually delving into Utilities One, which is the company that the Chechen in question was supposedly a subcontractor for.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people in the Intel community that I've spoken to who really want a harder look at Utilities One because they think it might be basically a front company. And if you go on their website, you can see a map of all of the projects they're working on. In fact, there's one. I live in Southwest Florida. There's one right down the road from me. But basically, they have their hands in critical telecommunications infrastructure project, water management projects, as well as electrical grid projects throughout all 50 states. And it is possible that this is a Russian intelligence operation masquerading as a company. And so that means that there is a Russian possible front company with its hands in every major facet of our infrastructure, which is obviously not good for us because if the Russians decide to really go full bore against us, they could be attacking us at our own home front.
Okay, well, that's great news. A Russian front company is involved in all 50 states and little things like telecommunication, the electrical grid, and our water supply. So anyway, with that, Brandon, where can people pick up The Shadow War?
Well, you can pick up all my books anywhere they're sold, online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or in your bookstore. And be sure to follow me at WeTheBrandon on Twitter, Getter, and Truth Social. Same handle.
Brandon, I appreciate you, my brother. Come back soon. Look, I'm going to move off this subject just because we are so overwhelmed. I've been gone for a week. When I say overwhelmed, I mean overwhelmed in a good way with stories and emails and things we want to get caught up on. But this is something, like, it's not something for you to do. And it's not something for you to not do, meaning don't adjust anything in your life because of what you just heard there. I know that was scary. It was. Look, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh gosh, that's scary. But there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do. Make some basic preparations and then live your life. However, how long have we been talking about this, you and me? How many times have you heard me behind this microphone say there's a reason proxy wars are normally fought like proxy wars? They're fought in secret because you don't want to escalate things where it becomes large nation state against large nation state. So if you're the Soviets and you want to hurt Americans in Vietnam, you quietly ship some AK-47s down there. If you're Americans and you want to hurt the Soviets in Afghanistan, you quietly ship some Stinger missiles into Afghanistan. But today, because we are led by utter morons, they'll send missiles to Ukraine that are going to kill Russians, and then they'll give a press conference bragging about it. And how long have I told you? This is going to prompt a response. And Russia has the ability to respond. Anyway, we're moving off this. We have way too much to get to. We still have an hour left. Buckle up.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.